This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Centerfold, of course, from the J. Geils Band. It reached number one in 1982. But before that, J. Geils were a Boston band playing at venues like Unicorn Coffee House on Boylston Street and the Tea Party in the South End. J. Geils himself, their founder and guitarist, was found dead last night in his home in Groton at the age of 71. Joining me now with the remembrance is Steve Morse. He spent 30 years as a rock critic for the Boston Globe. He teaches rock history at Berklee College of Music. Steve Morse, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I always feel bad that I have to meet people like you under circumstances like this. But let's take a couple of minutes to remember J. Geils here. What has the Boston music scene lost in his passing?
Well, it's a sad time, but it's also a time to remember the joy that, they brought us. I used to see them at Boston Garden a lot in the late 70s and the early 80s. And, you know, there was just nothing like the J. Geils Band in concert. You know, they just had a kind of working class fire to them and you know, just unbelievably explosive, you know, powerful, kinetic shows that, you know, were so Boston oriented and yet, you know, they derived from the blues, you know, a lot of Chicago blues in there, but given a Boston spin to it and just virtuoso players, and Jay was right at the top of that list. A wonderful player, not fancy, you know, didn't try to dazzle people, but, you know, just so solid, you know, just so soulful.
Well, we actually, a little earlier today, we spoke with Danny Klein, who played bass for J. Geils Band, and you were talking about the quality of their playing. Here's how Danny described Jay's guitar playing.
He practiced 12 hours a day. When he played in the 70s at his peak, I don't know any other better guitar player. If anybody got on stage with him, he could tear him to shreds.
In fact, Aerosmith's Joe Perry also said that if you saw that band when you were in your prime, you probably expected that's how rock and roll is. Well, no, they're a cut above. So tell us about J. Geils as a guitar player.
Well, those are nice words from Danny. I just spoke to him, too. If I could plug, I'm doing a Boston Globe piece tomorrow in appreciation of Geils, and I also chatted with him, and I think the hard work is what really made Jay into a great player. His dad was an engineer, and, you know, Jay initially went to an engineering college, and then later he became a mechanic for high-performance sports cars, like Ferraris and Maseratis, and, you know, had a company up in Carlisle, Mass., and brought the same hard work and devotion and precision to that field, and he worked 14-hour days doing that after Geils broke up. So, you know, he was an amazing guy, didn't look for a lot of credit, quiet guy, shy. They had Peter Wolfe as the front man, so
yep.
Peter Wolfe, you know, gobbled up the attention and the showmanship and, you know, but Jay was the anchor, I think. I mean,
yeah.
I think he was, you know, he came to play every night. Just a solid player, and he was also one of Duane Allman's favorite guitar players, and that says a lot, Duane Allman or the Allman Brothers right there. So, you know, that respect amongst the guitar fraternity was always there.
Well, Steve, let me just jump in here because listening to you talk about the respect that he had amongst the guitar fraternity, as you just said, makes me want to hear a little bit more music. So let's play Looking for a Love, 1972, J. Geils Band. Really like this one, Steve, right?
Well, I mean, I like almost every Geils tune. I mean, if you lived in Boston at that period, you pretty much were exposed to it all back in the days of freeform radio, and WBCN played all kinds of Geils tunes, and it wasn't just the hit. You know, once MTV came in the early 80s, that all changed, and you know, they had the great, they had some hit singles and they had some commercial success, but the 70s was when rock was more open and free form, and you could hear all these songs, not just in concert, but also on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you were talking a little bit earlier about other members of the band, including Peter Wolfe. Can you tell us a little bit about the relationship that, that Giles and Wolfe had?
Well, I think Jay, the songs were mainly written by Peter Wolfe and Seth Justman, the keyboard player. They were kind of the Jagger Richards of the Jay Giles world. And, you know, Jay was there in the studio all the time and kind of, you know, offered his assistance and played the songs as he felt they should be played. So he had a lot of autonomy there. But, you know, I think the real issue with Giles was the tension between Peter Wolfe and Seth Justman. You know, they had trouble eventually deciding on songs, and Peter Wolfe came in with a song to Giles that he wrote himself, and he, you know, without Seth Justman's input, and that created a lot of the friction. So it wasn't that Jay had a problem with either one of them. I think it was really the tension between the two main songwriters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Centerfold was number one in 1982. Wolfe left the very next year, right? 1983? And then
right.
Giles in 85. I mean, what happened? It just seemed like right when they were at the peak of their success, folks started going their separate ways.
Well, that's the tragedy. That's probably the biggest Boston rock tragedy in my career. I saw them in 1982 at the Garden. They played three sold-out nights. And they were coming off a 1981 tour, opening for the Rolling Stones. They were always tight with the Rolling Stones. And they left that Garden show, and then they toured with the Stones in Europe. And then suddenly they were gone. They went to do their next album, and things fell apart in the songwriting team. And Peter went off and did his own thing. But it's just murky. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. It's one of those ugly divorces that, you know, you can't quite figure out. I mean, it's like Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses, or, you know, there's always, everybody's, it's sad. I mean, but it's a tragedy for Boston rock because they were away for 17 years before they played out in Mansfield at, I still call it Great Woods, in 1999. And 17 years is too long to be gone.
Right.
I mean, the Eagles were gone for 14 years before they reunited, but they were huge, always huge, and so they were able to come back. But Giles did not. I mean, they did not have a real successful comeback tour. They're still together today, but of course, you know, Jay was not with the later incarnation. He decided to just, you know, do more kind of quiet club level blues and, you know, get off the beat big rock track. But yeah, it's a tragedy that, and nobody totally knows what went on.
Yeah. Well, Steve, if I can just jump in here, you know, it was important that we observed the tragedy that the band itself was apart for so long. But I don't want to really end our conversation on that note. I'd love to actually just ask you one last question about what do you think Giles's his lasting legacy is on Boston music.
Well, I think he's really one of the spiritual leaders of the scene. I mean, he gave great dignity to the Boston music scene. I mean, he and Joe Perry of Aerosmith are, you know, I think the most respected guitar players to come out of Boston. Tom Scholz of the band Boston is respected too, of course. But I think it's Jay's work ethic, the fact that he you know, very supportive of bandmates. I mean, he was not a partier. You know, Jay used to go back to the hotel afterwards after a show and watch the Johnny Carson show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wouldn't be out till dawn, you know, partying with some of the other members of the band. So I think Jay has this image of just being a solid, reliable, you know, top-notch guitar player, very versatile, could play anything from blues to jazz to, you know, very, very top shelf player.
Yeah. Well, that's Steve Morse. He spent 30 years as a rock critic for the Boston Globe. He teaches rock history now at Berklee College of Music. Joining us today to remember Jay Giles. Steve, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's listen to another one of Jay Giles Band's big hits. This is 1980's Love Stinks.
One thing for sure. Love stinks. Love stinks.